Welcome to the Oxford University United Methodist Church podcast, where each week you'll find new sermons from both our traditional service and our more contemporary journey service. For more information about our church or to contact us, please visit OUUMC.org. And as always, thanks for listening.
I want to thank Joanna and Callie for reading our scripture this morning, a great scripture about a child read by some of our children. We thank both of you for that this morning. We're moving through a series called Ordinary and Unlikely, and what we're doing is we're looking at the people that we meet in Scripture, and what we're discovering, what we're talking about, is these are ordinary folk just like us. These are the people that you would have never chosen to step into the mix and follow God and do the amazing things that they did. We're using their stories to help us think about how God calls us. We started a few weeks ago talking about Moses, this middle-aged man who heard God's call in a burning bush to lead God's people to freedom. After that, the next week we talked about two elderly women, Shipra and Pua. They were midwives, and they found the call of God in their work. Last week we talked about Hannah, this younger woman who was desperate to have a child. And when she finally had her child, she offered this child up to live in the temple, to do the work of God. And today, we hear the story of that little boy, 6 years old, 7 years old, something like that, one who heard God's call. So let's pray as we prepare to look at his story today. God, we thank you for all of the stories of Scripture, and we thank you for those who across the centuries heard your call and responded. God, allow their stories to call to us, to convict us, to help us to see you and your world in a different way, and to understand how we might fit into your work in the world. So lead us today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. The last few weeks of constant hurricane coverage, of the storms build up and then the devastation and destruction, what it's done for me is it's made me remember. It's made me remember the days immediately following Hurricane Katrina. My family and I, we were living in Hattiesburg at the time. We stayed in Hattiesburg as the storm came on shore. And so I have a lot of flashbacks the last couple weeks to things that day and in the days after. And one of the stories that I remember was a time a couple of weeks after Katrina made landfall. A couple of us answered the call to go to Biloxi to deliver some supplies to a Methodist church in Biloxi, Mississippi. So this was 2005, back in the dark ages, right? Back before you had phones that told you where to go. So no Google Maps on our phones, none of that. So before we left, we went to MapQuest, does anybody still use MapQuest? Do you know what, Brady, you know what? You don't know what MapQuest is, do you? This old thing called MapQuest, we printed out directions to this church in Biloxi, and we took off to the coast. We realized the error of our ways when we got to Biloxi, Mississippi. Because when we got there, there were no more street signs. There were no more landmarks. There were no more buildings in that area that could help us get our bearings. We were lost in the chaos and the desolation of that moment. And if you want to understand the book of 1 Samuel, you have to understand that the people who were living back then were living in a moment where they felt lost. Lost in all of the chaos and the desolation of their moment in time. The people of Israel had been used to these great leaders leading them. They had Moses that led them out of Egypt. They had Joshua who led them into the promised land that led the conquest of Canaan. After that, you had this series of judges, men and women who would rise up at particular moments answering the call of God, people like Gideon and people like Deborah and people like Samson who would stand up and lead the people in these moments. But the era of judges came to a close. And what you had after that, you had priests who were corrupt. You had leadership that was weak in Israel. And you had people on the edges of Israel who were ready to take over. And the people of Israel in that moment were fearful about what would happen next. And I'm sure some of them thought, like maybe we do when we read about that, we think, well, maybe God will raise up a king. Maybe God will raise up another great leader. Maybe God will raise up a warrior to rally the people to defeat the enemies. Or maybe the people thought, maybe God will do another great sign, like when God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, or when God made the walls of Jericho crumble. Maybe that's what God will do for us. But God didn't do any of that. Instead, God chose to work through a child, through a boy. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that's what we're told, that this is a boy. It says the boy Samuel. And that's significant because an Israelite man or young boy or young girl would become an adult around the age of 13. That means that Samuel in our scripture today could be 6 years old or 7 years old, 8 years old, a young child. God chooses in this moment of chaos and desolation to work through a child. The other character we meet in 1 Samuel chapter 3 is on the other end of life. It's Eli the priest. And what we're told about Eli is that his vision is fading. But it's not just that his vision is fading. He is really fading away. What we know about Eli at this point is that his sons have been, according to what 1 Samuel chapter 2 says, his sons are scoundrels, right? That's what it says. How would you like to be called a scoundrel? That's what his sons are. And what the story says is that because of that, a prophet came to Eli and said, because of the actions of your sons, God is going to remove the priesthood from you. Your line is going to end. You're going to watch your sons die on the same day. Eli is fading, not just physically, but in influence, in faith, everything. He is fading away. And so in chapter 3, we get the story of this young boy and this older man. At the start of chapter 3, we have a scene where they're going to bed. It's bedtime. Samuel beds down beside the Ark of the Covenant. Eli beds down in another part of the temple. And in the middle of the night, Samuel hears a voice saying, "Samuel, Samuel." So Samuel hops up, he cries out, "Here I am," and he runs to Eli. He says to Eli, "Hey, I heard you calling me. I'm here. What do you need?" Eli rolls over in bed and says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This happens again. Eli tells him, "Just go. I don't know what you're hearing. Go back to bed." A third time, Samuel shows up and says, "I'm here. I heard you calling me." And the third time, Eli realizes something significant is happening. This one who is fading away finally perceives what's going on in this moment. And he tells Samuel, he says, "Go back to bed. But the next time you hear the voice, stand up and say, 'Here I am, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel goes back to his place beside the Ark of the Covenant. He hears the voice again. He stands up and says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And this is what we're told happens next. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle.'" What God tells Samuel, is that I'm going to start something new through you. Through what I'm going to tell you, through what you're going to tell Eli, through what you're going to speak to the nation of Israel, I'm going to begin something new through you, Samuel. And when we hear this story, it's a great old story. When we hear this story from 3,000 years ago, part of us wants to say, the temptation in us is to say, you know what, that's a great story from a long time ago. We like what God did through Samuel. That's a great story. But when we think of it as just a story in the past, we miss the truth of what God needs to speak to us today. And here's the thing. I think this story has a lot to say to us in our time and in our moment. Because if you listen to a lot of people, we're in this moment in history that sounds a lot like what was going on 3,000 years ago, where we feel lost on some days, amidst the chaos and the desolation of our moment in history. We hear rumblings about war coming out of North Korea. We read about terrorist attacks every few months. We read about people struggling with addiction and how the opioid crisis is reaching this point where people are having to talk about it as a national emergency. We see people suffering from hurricanes. There are these angry conversations that we're having about immigration and politics and all of these other conversations. And it just feels like in some moments that everything is coming undone. That we're lost in this moment of chaos and desolation. And so I think this story has something significant to speak to us in our day, in our time, if we're willing to hear it. And maybe the first thing that we notice in this story, one of the first things that God speaks to us through this story, is that the work of God has no age limit. There is no floor for what age God can work in people. There is no ceiling for an age that God can work in people. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60, 8 or 80, 9 or 90. It doesn't matter. God can speak to you and can call you to step into the chaos of our day and our time, to become a part of what God is doing in the world. Maybe that means you mentoring a younger couple or a teenager. Maybe that means setting up a lemonade stand to raise money for hurricane relief. I'll let you figure out if the 80-year-old or the 8-year-old needs to do that one. God speaks to us at any age. And some of you are thinking, well, that may be good, but God really only speaks to good Christians. God only speaks to people who are spiritually mature, who have it all together, right? But what does this story teach us? Look back at verse 7 if you've got your Bible open. It says this, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." What that basically says to us is Samuel is spiritually immature. He's not there yet. But it didn't matter. God still called to him. God still reached out to him. There is no age or stage of life or stage of spiritual maturity that God cannot use you. About 3 years ago, a young man named Christian Buck was 10 years old. And Christian was out on his playground one day out at recess, and he noticed that there was a problem, and he thought about it. It bothered him. And so he talked about the problem with his principal. And he told his principal, he said, "Look, there are kids on the playground, and they're lonely. They don't have anybody to play with." He said, "And that bothers me." He says, "But I've got a solution." He said, "What if we had a special bench? A special bench where kids, if they didn't have anybody to play with, or if they were lonely on the playground that day, they could go to the bench. Other kids would see them on the bench. They could go meet them there, and then they could go play. They could talk. They could have a good time." And the principal loved the idea. So the next fall, when school started, Christian Buck had his buddy bench there on the playground. Some local news outlets heard about it, and then it got picked up on the internet, and then NBC and CNN and other big news outlets heard about it and did stories about it, about the gift of this 10-year-old boy. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to buddybench.org and look at that. If I'm boring you during the sermon, you can look at buddybench.org. Hear this, 10 years old, not too young, not too immature for God to use him. Whatever age or stage you're in, this story says, you know what? God can call you. God can use you to step into the chaos and the pain and the brokenness of our day and time. But if we're going to do that, then we have to be receptive. We have to live in such a way where we expect God to speak to us. We have to live in such a way where we say with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." A lot of times we don't think God wants to speak to us, that God can't speak to us. Frederick Buechner writes about God speaking to us, and he says this. He says, "Sometimes we avoid listening for fear of what we may hear. Sometimes we avoid listening that we may because we fear that we may hear nothing at all but the empty rattle of our own feet on the pavement. Set aside your fear of what God might call you to do. Set aside your fear that God may not call you, and live in such a way where you watch, where you actively listen for God to speak to you. Maybe God speaks to you through the news that you hear. Maybe God speaks to you through something you hear at school or in a class at Ole Miss. Maybe God speaks to you in that voice that says, and this has happened to all of us, sometimes you think, well, you know, somebody ought to do something about that, right? What if that someone is you? What if it's that quiet nudge of conscience? What if it's that thing that you keep thinking about that just won't let you go? Trust God to speak to you and listen for God's voice. Wake up in the morning and simply pray the prayer of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And if that's all this story had to offer to us in our day, that would be plenty. But I think there's something else here, something else that we tend to miss when we read this story. You know, we like to celebrate Samuel. Here's this little kid hearing the voice of God, responding to the voice of God. But what we often miss when we read this story is that Samuel never would have heard the voice of God had it not been for Eli. Samuel would have never known how to recognize the voice of God if it had not been for Eli. Samuel would have never known how to respond to God without the work of Eli. Eli knows he's never going to see the new movement of God. Eli knows he's not going to be a part of what God is going to do. But he still speaks to Samuel. And what this reminds us of, what this speaks to us, is that if we're going to hear the word of God, we need others. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not that God is not speaking to you. Maybe you just need other people around you to help you discern the voice of God, to help you recognize the voice of God, to help you respond to the word of God. Maybe you need people around you that you can trust who will say to you, "Have you thought about it this way?" Maybe people around you to say, "You know what, you have these great gifts. What if you did this?" Maybe you need people around you when you're confused, or maybe you're beginning to feel the edges of God calling to you, who can come alongside you and say, let me pray with you about that. You know, you probably don't know the name Henrietta Mears. Anybody out there ever heard the name Henrietta Mears? No, nobody's ever heard of Henrietta Mears, but has anyone ever heard the name Billy Graham? Any of you ever heard the name Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ? Any of you familiar with Young Life and its founder, Jim Rayburn? All three of those men have one thing in common: Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears was the one who founded the Sunday school at First Presbyterian in Hollywood, California. She grew the Sunday school ministry of that church to 6,500 people. And three of the people who came through that ministry were Billy Graham, Jim Rayburn, and Bill Bright. They all point to her as their own Eli, someone who helped them hear God calling them. Here's what Henrietta Mears said near the end of her life. She said, "It's just wonderful to think that what we speak and do are translated some way, in a most mystical and marvelous way, to other individuals, and they in turn spread it out and out and out until the circle is so immense that we haven't any idea." Eli's help us expand the work of God. So let me ask you, who's your Eli? Who do you trust in your life to help you hear God's voice? You know, we're real open to Eli's when we're young. We're real open to other people speaking into us when we're young. But as we grow up, what I find is that most of us try to live as spiritual islands, trying to figure out God's voice, trying to find God's voice on our own. But maybe it's in our adult years that we need others more than even when we were young, Because our decisions have so much weight. Our decisions about how we'll use our money, where we'll live, what we'll do with our lives, things that go on in our families and at work. We need others to help us discern the voice of God. But there's another side to that as well. It's not just that we need people who will perform the task of Eli in our lives. We need to take on the responsibility of being Eli for other people around us. We need to understand that, you know, maybe we don't feel like that's our issue. Maybe we feel like that's not my generation. Maybe we feel like, you know what, that's their problem to fix. But what this reminds us, it takes all of us working together, which means we need to be people who are willing to speak into the younger generation. I'm here because someone took the time to speak into my life. Our youth director when I was in junior high was a woman named Nancy Bishop. And one night after youth ministry, she pulled me into a Sunday school room and she pointed her finger in my face. And she said, God has something for you to do. I'd already been struggling with maybe a call, but it was her words that gave me the courage to pursue what God was doing in my life. There are people all around you, yes, you, who need you to serve that role in their lives. The church in this moment in history needs people who are willing to pour into the lives of the next generations, so that they can step into the chaos, into the problems of our world, and be the faithful people who lead us to a new future. We need waves of people who are willing to do that. Here's what I can tell you about here at OU. Every Sunday morning, we have about 40 adults that work in children's ministry, youth ministry, and college ministry. On Wednesday nights here at OU, between confirmation and youth small groups, and when we have our children's ministry on Wednesday nights, we have somewhere in the range of 40 to 50 adults. And you're probably thinking, man, that's pretty good, right? It's not enough. It is not enough. We need wave after wave after wave of Elis to step into the gap. And that may mean you actively work with our children's or youth ministry, or it may simply mean this, that when you have children around you on Sunday mornings, you take the time to get to know them so that when you see them on the square or at the ball field or at Holly's Sweet Tooth or wherever you go, that you can speak to, that you can pour into their lives, that you can serve as a guide or a Sherpa or a leader or a mentor or a coach, whatever they need from you, that you are there ready for them. You know, at a large church like ours, when people ask the question, who's our youth minister or who's our children's minister, the easy way to answer that question is to say what? Well, our children's minister is Carmen Maddox and our youth minister is Kelly Fenwick. But that's an incomplete answer. Here's the right answer. When someone asks you, hey, who's your children's minister at OU? The right answer is all of us. When somebody asks you, hey, who's the youth minister at OU? The right answer is what? All of us. When somebody says, hey, who's working with college ministry at OU? The right answer is all of us. All of us. Too often we forget that if we're going to be the body of Christ, if we're going to do the work of God, then it requires all of us in community. Not only so that we can hear the word of God, but so that others can hear the word of God as well. This is a significant moment in our world. And my prayer for us as a church is that we don't miss it. If you don't know what to do, where to go from this, maybe the simple answer is to wake up tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and every morning after this and simply pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've been blessed and challenged by today's podcast. Check back next week to hear the latest sermons from Oxford University United Methodist Church.